Hey everyone, welcome. Welcome to Channels, the Next Flow podcast. I'm Rob Lalonde. I'm the Chief Commercial Officer for Sakara. It's been a while since I've done a podcast. I started this podcast series when it was called NFCast, and then Phil and the community people, the advocates, have carried the torch in this podcast for a while now under the banner of Channels. So let's just jump right in with our first guest, or our guest today, Kelsey Florek. Kelsey's very well known in public health circles. Definitely a bit of a rock star in this space. She's a senior genomics and data scientist with Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene. As I said, she's extremely well known. She obtained her PhD in microbiology and master's in public health from the University of Wisconsin-Madison and started her public health career at the Wisconsin State Library in 2017. As a fellow, she was developing genomic approaches to better identify and characterize infectious disease outbreaks. Since then, she's worked on a variety of projects, including the State Public Health Bioinformatics Workgroup, Docker Builds project, and Toolkit. She also worked on the Wisconsin State Laboratory Data Portal and the SARS-CoV-2 Genomic Dashboard, and most recently has been working with the Sakara platform to simplify genomic access for the staff in Wisconsin. So welcome, Kelsey. It's great to talk to you. We last met up at the APHL conference in Sacramento, and we said, let's do this podcast. And I guess it's taken us kind of 6 months or so to get here, but welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I mean, I've been excited to do this for a little while now. So let's get into it. What happens at Wisconsin Public Health Laboratory, and what is your current role? Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so the Wisconsin State Laboratory really serves the state of Wisconsin, focused on a lot of testing, both clinical and surveillance based. Really focusing on a lot of things that kind of show up that are weird in facilities and hospitals and things like that. So we do a lot of the more kind of niche testing, more general surveillance testing, trying to understand what pathogens are out there, what infectious disease agents we need to worry about, and how they're trending and changing over time. And specifically, my role is leading our bioinformatics team. So I'm the supervisor for our infectious disease genomics surveillance team, and we do a lot of work developing workflows, analyzing data, and monitoring trends of infectious agents over time.
Well, that's pretty timely, particularly a couple years ago. I'm sure your world got turned upside down and shaken a little bit. How did the lab change its approach to genomics as COVID hit?
Yeah, actually quite significantly. So when I first joined the lab, it was actually just myself doing some of the genomics in the laboratory. We had several sequencing platforms, and we were slowly kind of moving into genomic sequencing with a couple of different pathogens. Coming off my PhD, I had studied a lot of influenza immunology related to vaccination. And so coming into the laboratory, I wanted to do something a little bit different and kind of shifted over into hospital-acquired infections and antimicrobial resistance. So we were doing a little bit of sequencing of antimicrobial resistance genes and kind of trying to understand how those were circulating around Wisconsin and what types of genes we were dealing with. And then once COVID hit, it kind of changed everything. We really started focusing a lot on COVID genomics, which just the amount of sequencing, the amount of data we were dealing with and how we were approaching sequencing analysis meant that we had to scale everything, both from the size of the team to the computational power to our approach to running analyses and workflows. So that was kind of a really big redesign effort for us. We kind of started a little bit before the pandemic doing this, but when the pandemic hit, we really shifted gears and started focusing a lot more using things like Nextflow, Sakara platform, and really pushing more into the cloud to kind of manage our workflows and our data loads. And it's really kind of set us up for success kind of moving forward.
Well, cool. I think I saw some charts actually from your organization that showed the various COVID variants. I think it was even by geography across Wisconsin and where the variants were kind of moving around and growing and waning and such. So it's, I assume is part of your work.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, with a lot of our efforts to push more into the cloud and generate this capacity within the lab, one of the focuses with COVID was to kind of build that capacity in a way that it was accessible by labs externally. So we were working and developing on workflows that could be easily deployed in partner laboratories that were doing sequencing across the state. And we were really looking towards using a lot of these, again, NextFlow technologies to kind of push that forward. So a lot of the surveillance we're doing was actually a combined effort across the state from a variety of different labs and all trying to really understand how this virus was changing and evolving over time and the populations it was affecting across all the areas of Wisconsin.
Right. And I guess you were doing, you know, direct patient testing at the time in the early days, and now there's not so much of that. So are you relying more on wastewater testing and other sources to gather your data?
Yeah, definitely. We still do a lot of clinical testing. It has waned quite a bit since COVID has started to wane a bit. We've seen a lot more at-home testing, so that's limited the amount of samples that we have access to. So we've definitely been shifting to other areas like wastewater to help monitor what's out there and what's circulating in the environment and just be able to track what variants are potentially of concern in the state.
Well, COVID certainly hasn't gone away, but now we've got things like monkeypox and RSV and more flu outbreaks and cold outbreaks and who knows what's next. Do you feel like you're set up better as these things come along now? And how has your lab shifted its efforts as COVID has started to diminish focus to some extent?
Yeah, absolutely. When COVID kind of first hit, like I said, we were limited in our ability to do genomics. We were doing a handful of pathogens. A lot of them were part of national surveillance efforts being pushed forward through CDC. But since COVID, it's helped us kind of stand up our individual capacity to adapt to new pathogens. And so with monkeypox and RSV and measles outbreaks, we've really kind of started expanding our scope of pathogens we can sequence and analyze and how we can make use of that data to kind of help augment public health response. So one of the big aspects to come out of this was a public-facing dashboard to kind of inform the public a bit more about the different variants that are circulating. And we hope to make more of our data publicly available as we start to kind of develop these tools a bit more. Like I said, it's been a kind of big revolution for us in terms of how we generate and work with data. And so we've been really focused on building a lot of capacity that's going to set us to move forward. We're still kind of building a lot of that infrastructure, but I think, you know, we're definitely going to be in a much better position for whatever comes next. We'll be much more well-suited to kind of adjust our methods on the fly and even kind of adopt methods that are a little bit more pathogen agnostic and just able to be applied no matter what the situation is.
You mentioned scalability and infrastructure. That's, as I understand it, you're using AWS Batch to achieve that scalability and scale up, scale down as your volumes start to vary.
Yeah, exactly. So we've been looking a lot at more and more at serverless type styles of approach to computing. So can we both build through scalable cloud resources, so scaling up or scaling down to meet our exact need, but not just for the bioinformatic workflow processes, but also for the data storage and data querying. We've been looking a lot at things like AWS Glue, Athena, a couple of other AWS services to kind of help us wrap our heads a bit around the data that we're generating and make it a little bit more accessible at our fingertips. When I started in the lab, we were pretty capable with just Excel spreadsheets and files on a disk, but that has rapidly changed since the pandemic. And so we've been really increasing our efforts to modernize how we approach genomic data and better augment our approaches to make them more informed and more real time.
And tell me about your use of NextFlow. You said you started around the time COVID was hitting and you made this transition. That had to be a bit of a learning curve. How did that go and how's it progressed?
Yeah, absolutely. When I started in the lab, we were Docker was our first big thing. We started tooling up a lot of our applications in Docker and setting up the StaffB Docker repository to be able to manage a lot of our Docker containers. A lot of those Dockers were strung together using shell scripts or Python scripts to kind of act as workflows. I remember back to some of those first workflows I created when I was in the lab, where I was trying to code in parallel processing and fault tolerance kind of through Python and creating a lot of work for myself and managing something like that. So once we kind of discovered Nextflow and its capabilities, both in just being able to highly parallelize the sample analyses and its fault tolerance and logging, it was just kind of like a shining star in how we could move forward. And so we put a lot of effort initially into just learning and understanding the language and started developing a lot of our own workflows just kind of off that base knowledge. And then as we started to discover a lot of the resources in the NF Core community, that's when things really started to take off for us.
Did you just self-teach yourselves through the online materials that were available?
Yeah, so a lot of reading documentation. I think one of the strongest skills you can have as a bioinformatician is being able to read and digest software documentation and really learn to kind of adopt and fully utilize tools by reading through all of the resources available. So it was a combination of documentation, YouTube videos, tutorials, guides, things like that.
Yeah, I show up at new customer meetings and with Evan Floden, our CEO, or somebody, and they'll always, I recognize you from the training courses. So they've always gone through those videos. I think it is a credit to the community how strong the materials are, the training materials, whether it's the help docs or the actual training courses that are available. That's fantastic. So on the NF Core side, you're obviously got involved in that community as well, which is the community of people building pipelines on top of Nextflow and modules and tooling and all that stuff. It's become very, very robust and grown very rapidly. And it's kind of a real strength of Nextflow now is this layer of pipelines and tools, and not just tools, but humans. So many humans involved in the support of these pipelines and furthering the development of those. How much have you done with NF Core? What pipelines are you using?
Yeah, I would say, you know, from a community standpoint, absolutely. I think the people are the number one resource that's available in that community. I countless questions both contributed and asked on the Gitter platform, on the Slack channel, just being able to have that resource of, you know, if something's acting kind of funny and you're not sure why, like 9 times out of 10, somebody's probably also experienced that. And so having that resource to be able to talk with other people that are using those packages, those modules, those workflows has been really helpful. And then the expansion of modules and the growth of workflows that have these kind of standardized approaches has been monumental. I think we often ask a lot of the same questions in public health that a lot of academic researchers are asking. And so being able to look at a similar pipeline and get results that are identical or nearly identical has been really helpful, especially in the COVID pandemic, where there is such a unified effort across tons of different agencies, across tons of different organizations to try to better understand this virus. When there's a common workflow that people can point to and suggest, it really adds a lot of value.
Yeah. So which specific pipelines have you used?
Yeah, so Viral Recon has been our number one focus through the COVID pandemic and kind of when that was created, we were quick to try to jump on that and use that just because of the amount of support and following that workflow has.
Yeah, so taking a step up, we went from Nextflow up to NF Core, now the Sakara platform, formerly called Tower. You've been using that in Wisconsin. I think you've been using it I've known you for a couple of years, so you're probably that long almost now. Now you're using it or about to be using it through the APHL folks, Association of Public Health Labs. What role do you see Sakara platform playing? How are you using it? How's it working for you?
Yeah, it's kind of been an evolving piece of technology in our suite of tools that we use. I think initially when we started using Sakara platform back in its initial days as Tower, we kind of just used it for monitoring. We used it as to provide insight into the workflows we were running, especially when we started running more workflows in the cloud. It was really helpful just to see the status of pipelines, where things were at, different metrics about how long they were running, how much resources they were using. A lot of that really built in added functionality into how we approached bioinformatics in the lab. As that technology evolved, as features were added, things like cost workflow optimizations, being able to look at workflows after the fact and see where we could optimize compute resources and make workflows just run faster and smoother was a huge benefit. And then some of the more recent additions, like being able to upload data through the platform and access it through the platform, has been a huge advantage to being able to provide access to the workflows we're running. I think, you know, my team is still relatively small in comparison to the amount of sequencing and genomic work that we do in the lab. And so lowering that barrier of entry, making it easier for people to access bioinformatic workflows and run them in the lab, has been a major focus for us. We've developed some external projects, things like Easy Genomics, to try to make those workflows a little bit more accessible to people inside and outside of the laboratory. And I think Sakura Platform is doing a great job of adding similar features and trying to build in that direction as well.
Great. Have you seen the announcement about the notebook capability? Do you see that providing any benefit down the road?
I haven't, actually. I should be paying closer attention to the blog with how fast things change.
Yeah, we definitely got to talk about that one. But I'm glad to see you using the optimization. Lots of people saving money and, you know, pipelines running fast, using the pipeline optimization capability and the new data explorer capability, being able to browse your buckets and upload and download files and stuff. That was driven largely by you folks in public health. So thank you for that. That was definitely something that we put in to address the needs of public health. That's great. Well, let's jump into just a rapid fire session now, and kind of done with the business, just ask you some fun questions and get to know you a little bit better. We'll just do some quick questions, quick answers. So tell us a few things about Wisconsin.
Wisconsin's a beautiful state, especially if you enjoy the outdoors. Madison is particularly beautiful. It's centered on an isthmus squeezed between two lakes. So in the wintertime, there's lots of different skating opportunities, cross-country ski opportunities. And then in the summertime, it's just a beautiful place to sit on the beach or at the terrace and have a beer and watch sailboats and just really enjoy the outdoors.
I hear the fishing's great as well. Yeah, I know Wisconsin for beer and for cheese and for Harley Davidson, but I really want to know if you have a cheesehead hat.
I actually don't. I kind of feel a little ashamed about that. No, we don't have cheese hats. We do buy plenty of cheese though. And in fact, I think the times during the year when I'm traveling and I'm often feeling a bit starved of cheese, I recognize that I'm where I need to be in Wisconsin.
What inspired your career in science?
Oh, so I think way back when, I've always been kind of fascinated with understanding the world around me. When I was younger, I used to borrow my dad's lab coats and run around the house claiming I was in the middle of an experiment, collecting bugs and things outdoors. I just have always absolutely loved. Huh?
Dissecting ants?
Yeah. Yep.
So your father was a scientist as well?
A physician, actually. Yeah. So. Okay. He really wanted me to go to medical school, but when I started doing the pre-med stuff, I absolutely fell in love with viruses and felt like medical school wasn't really where I wanted to go.
Gotcha. Outside of bioinformatics, what hobbies do you have?
Oh, I love having hobbies. I do so many things outside of work. So photography is a big thing that I enjoy. I do a bit of wildlife photography, a bit of portrait photography. I'm an avid backpacker recently. So this last summer I was doing a lot of backpacking, really enjoying that experience of just being in a remote space, really enjoying nature, in that way. And then I think over the pandemic, I really started picking up watercolor painting. And so I've been doing a lot of watercolor painting, recently joined a local studio here in Madison that does a lot of live portraiture painting. So I've been kind of taking my watercolors into live portraiture sessions and trying to better understand shapes and values and things like that, which have been really enjoyable.
Wow, we're really getting to know Kelsey here. Is that your watercolor in the background that I see?
No, unfortunately, that's not my painting. That's just a little small demonstration of my love for Star Wars.
Oh, can't see it enough to tell what it is. What's the most recent movie or TV series that you loved?
Most recent one would probably have to be The Expanse. For those of you who may not have heard about it, it's a space kind of sci-fi opera Really amazing character development throughout the series, and just really enjoyed the realism that is involved in that series, which is really exciting to watch.
Oh, check that one out. I'm not familiar with it. Last question. Are you going to the NextFlow Summit in Boston in May?
I would love to. I'm still trying to figure out what travel I'm going to be doing this year and where I can go. But yeah, hopefully I can be there.
Well, let's work on that. And maybe we can get a talk in for you if you'd like to submit a talk. That'd be great to have you speak. I think people would love to hear about the work you've been doing.
Great.
Let's see you in Boston then. Let's consider that firm. Thank you very much, Kelsey, for joining us today. It was actually quite fun for me. Hope you enjoyed it. And I hope obviously the listeners enjoyed it. Thanks for joining the Channel Podcast, and we'll see you all next time.
Take care. We'll be right back.